This is, I'm still leaving the heading verse up because it's a verse we've kind of put up for this year. Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. And I've headed this one, wisdom. And why not? I didn't actually make it to, I had a bit of a dodgy tummy last week, I didn't make it to the Sunday evening, the joint churches, but I heard that Tim was speaking. He talked from Proverbs. And he said, no, he doesn't hear many sermons on Proverbs. So I thought, well, I'll pick up the challenge because we're reading Proverbs. So I thought, well, that's okay. Let's pick that up. And it's really exciting when you put a theme like this verse from 3 John here. You prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers. And you start reading through Proverbs and you think, gosh, it's all in there as well. It's all just there. You think the Bible was knitted together by some amazing person that was able to thread this stuff together in incredible ways. I love these people who dive in and do the study for you. It's awesome, actually. You can read other people's books and get a lot of stuff out of it. But the word wisdom, one of the words that's used through Proverbs, is used 42 times in Proverbs, okay? 42, that should start ringing bells for people. How many months did Jesus minister for? 42. How many generations were there between Abraham and Jesus? Go on, you know the answer now. 42. See, where did they get that from? In a sci-fi book, where did they get it from? They got it from the Bible. See? It's and you can make nothing or something of it, but when you actually see that the Bible has got all this incredible stuff threaded through it, it's just incredible. 66 books written by all kinds of different people, and yet there's a thread that joins it together, and you can't escape that. So this morning, anyone to pick up the baton and have a go at Proverbs? I love Proverbs. It's a really good book. And last time when I was speaking, I was talking about how Jesus often challenged the way his disciples thought. And he answered their questions quite often with another question or with a thought that you think, well, he didn't ask, they asked this question and Jesus said this. And why was that? Because he wanted them to learn to think, change the way they were thinking. So this week we can look at God's heart in Proverbs, which is all about changing the way we think. All those challenges, even the ones that Viv read out, are very challenging about how we think about life. And a lot of it isn't what comes naturally to us, but it has to be something in which we choose to do, we choose to enter into. Proverbs, just for those of you who don't know, is one of five poetry books in the Old Testament. And they're called the Books of Wisdom, Books of Poetry, and they're written in Hebrew poetry. The first book, and Ginla's decided she's reading that one in the morning, is Job. And Job points to the end of our self-life, what it means when everything is stripped away from us. And then we discover in that book the tender love and the wisdom and the redemption of God. That's what Job does. Psalms reveals the new life that we enter into with God through prayer and praise. And David teaches us that as he struggles with life issues and yet through prayer and praise finds answers in God and finds a new life in God. So Job deals with the end of our self-life. David picks it up with prayer and praise to take us into a new life of promise. Proverbs is the divine wisdom and revelation through which we can learn the ways of God. I don't know if you remember when I spoke before when it said Moses knew the ways of God. As into knowing the ways of God, seeing how God thinks about things. Ecclesiastes, there's a good book to dive into, isn't it? How many of you read Ecclesiastes ever? Yeah, good, well done. Well done, and how often do we read it? It's one of those books I don't tend to dive into a lot. You know, I'd read John's Gospel several times before I read Ecclesiastes, probably. But Ecclesiastes teaches us to set our hearts on the values of eternity rather than on this life. It expresses how futile this life is without God, and if we need eternity in our hearts. So you see how this is progressing. We start with Job at the end of our self-life, David with a new life, Proverbs giving us the wisdom to draw closer to God, Ecclesiastes giving us the heavenly perspective of turning away from this life, and then we get to my favourite of all of the books of wisdom, Song of Solomon, Song of Songs. And Song of Songs leads us into a divine romance with Jesus and his love for us. And it's just a fabulous, fabulous book, which I can just read over and over and over again. It brings me to tears every time I read the intimacy that God brings forth. But those are the five books of poetry and wisdom, right in the middle of the Old Testament there. And they thread together with purpose and with reason. And maybe that'll just encourage you to have a look at them and think of them a bit differently when you see there's a progression, there's a reason why they thread through. And Hebrew poet, they're all written in poetry, Hebrew poetry. So if you learn Hebrew, you'd get to appreciate it. But I wouldn't recommend it because it's hard. Hebrew is pretty much hard work. Doing New Testament Greek was bad enough. Hebrew is worse because they don't have any vowels. So you've got to guess at half of the words. So I applaud the translators who've done incredible jobs using other scripts and so on. But Hebrew poetry doesn't work like English poetry does with rhyme and meter. It's more of a kind of puzzle, leaning on the nuances of words, and words that, like in English, we have words that mean the same, mean different things, but sound the same, don't we? But they're spelt the same, and yet they mean something different. How crazy is that? And not even similar things, are they? Well, it's the same in Hebrew. They have words and roots of words, and they use it in poetry to tease you into thinking about the deeper things that are behind the thoughts. And I just thought it was kind of fun playing with this one, because one of the words that's used for wisdom, and used for Proverbs itself, Proverbs, it can mean a pithy saying, something that's, well, like they are, a wise, sharp saying. But the same word can mean to reign with power. Well, completely different word. But here's a book that says, here are some sayings and things that you could do, but what can they do to your life? They can move you to be a person who's a powerful person who learns to reign in power by living, choosing to live by the words that are in the book. Isn't that amazing? And that's the way Hebrew poetry can often work, to tease us into something else. And it's good that we have people who write lots of notes in our Bibles and things like that that explain that to us. I'm not clever enough to come up with that. But the stuff can be there, can be discovered, and we can find it if we want to study. So that's just an introduction. Yay, it worked. So I want to say in the first one here, we want to train ourselves to listen to God. So right at the beginning of Proverbs, the first chapter, verse 33 says, he who listens to me, and that's, you could say it's the Lord, you could say it's wisdom. Quite often in Proverbs, wisdom is personified. It invites you to meet her as a female. Interesting. He who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. And I thought, isn't that interesting when we talk about that we prosper and be in good health as our soul prospers. And here, he who listens to me will live securely and be at ease from the dread of evil. So there's something we can do here to actually move into the position of being blessed of God. And that's listen. Listen to wisdom. Make your ears attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver, that is the female, seek her as silver, and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Well, that's a simple formula then. You want to know God? Make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. Oh, hang on a minute now. If you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding, seek her as silver, and search for her as a hidden treasure. God is always speaking. It's the one thing I know and I'm convinced of. God is always speaking. And the world around us is full of noise that tries to drown out the song of heaven. It says that God sings over us. There is a sound of heaven that is constantly around us if we can tune ourselves in and hear what it is. But there is a noise in the world around that tries to crowd it out. And you say, how do you know that God is speaking? Because I've learned to tune in. It's about, in this room right now, How many radio channels are floating through the air? I don't know. I have no idea because I don't listen to radio. Probably hundreds. Hundreds of radio channels blaring out all kinds of music and lack of wisdom and news and sports reports. Can you hear any of them? No. But how do we know they're there? Because if we pick up a radio receiver and tune to the right frequency, we'll find one of those stations. And so it is with, in the spirit realm, with God speaking. We need to tune our hearts to listen to the song of heaven. Or do we listen to the noise of the world and let that get drowned out? Because how we think and how we feel will be impacted by what we listen to. I get surprised. Well, I don't actually, but I mean, there are those in our family members who love to watch stuff that I can't even be in the room when it's on. It's so depressing. It's awful. Or stuff that just pulls your heart down. Just whoa, it's just heavy. I think I don't want to watch this. What we listen to, there's music around all the time. Are you even aware of the lyrics that are being pumped out through some of the stuff? I'm not, because I've just given up listening. We put a film on last night thinking, oh, this might be fun to watch because it's an actor. I think he's generally fun. And after about 5 minutes, I just thought, I just don't want to watch this. I just don't want to watch this. The F word was in there a few times and then the vulgar humour, and just thought, I just don't want to listen to this. I just don't want to listen to it. I don't want this going into my heart. I don't want to have this as the atmosphere around me. I just want to tune into God, goodliness, goodly stuff, goodness. And I just saw Chris Valeton had posted something on Facebook, so just listen to him for a few minutes and switch mode. The implication of this verse in Proverbs 2 is that the benefit that we have in being able to hear doesn't come by casual effort, but by a single-minded application. I am always, always, always blessed at the mercy and the grace of God that the way he speaks can be heard by anyone, and he somehow manages to interject into people's lives who don't even seem to want to be listening, and yet out of his goodness and love comes in and does it. So I'm not ruling out that God in his infinite mercy and wisdom launches himself into somebody's circumstances and appears in a way that is understood and his love is felt and his encounter is there. And one of the ones still resonates with me when we're in Stockholm, was it last year? Well, the year before now. And all the street outreach was going on, and this young Chinese girl who'd got a problem with her leg, and somebody said, there's somebody here with a problem with the leg, Jesus wants to heal you now. And she came and got healed. But when they recorded her testimony, she was in tears. She said, Jesus saw me. That still impacts me. Jesus saw me in the crowd, in the streets of Stockholm. Jesus saw me, and she gave her heart to the Lord as well as getting healed. But Jesus saw me. So out of his incredible mercy and love, he's still able to speak above the noise. But there it's because a word was given, a call was given. He called out and said, is this you? I'm here for you. But she had to be listening. And she had to respond. And here in this it says, if we seek her as silver, search as hidden treasure, then you will know the fear of the Lord, and we'll talk about that in a while, and discover the knowledge of God. And I don't think we can be casual about our approach to God. Out of his mercy, we can meet with him. But if you want to know him, if you want to fall in love with him in a deeper way, you're not going to get there by being a casual inquirer. I understand Valentine's Day is coming up. When's that? Is it soon? Wednesday even. There you go. It's the same. It's the same day every year. We just decided we just don't need to worry about it anymore. We just love each other enough. It doesn't matter. Every day. Every day is Valentine's Day, isn't it? It's just every day. Just being lost in love. But the world wants to acknowledge love. The world knows that being loved is special. But what if every day can be Valentine's Day? But there wouldn't be a man or woman out there who would feel loved by their suitor if actually they only ever heard about it on Valentine's Day. Wouldn't be too impressed. Whichever side of the equation you're on, you wouldn't be that impressed if you only ever got the words, I love you, one day in a year. And if on that day you didn't really, or any day, you didn't actually put any effort into finding out how that person feels loved and expressing it. Still get perplexed sometimes in how Gunilla feels loved, because she says, oh, I don't know. She's very helpful. You can't just ask a straight question. You have to figure it out. But that's the point. There needs to be a pursuit. There needs to be some effort. It's Jesus tells a parable of a pearl of great price hidden in a field. And I kind of put it and changed it a little bit, and in my meditation thought, what if I told you right now that somewhere behind our house in the woods, and it could be at the bottom of the lake, it could be on the top of a tree, or buried under a tree, or it could be just on the muddy path through the woods, there is a casket, a box, that looks pretty special. And the box itself is worth a lot. But if you open the box, what's inside it will actually guarantee absolutely perfect health for you. It will guarantee that you will never be in want ever again. It will guarantee that you are secure and safe, not just now, but through eternity. That box is hidden somewhere in the woods behind our house. You go, oh, that's nice. And what most of the world says today is, go and find it for me and show it to me. And when you show it to me, I'll have a look. Meanwhile, I'll sit here and watch the footy. Or whatever. And they don't find the prize. But for you who are sitting here, you've come because you've heard a call. I want to put it to you, there's something worth pursuing. Jesus said the owner, the person who discovers that that treasure is there, sold everything they had and went and found that pearl of great price. You are the pearl of great price to Jesus. He gave up everything he had. All the glory of heaven, all the majesty, all that he had, he gave up to win you, the pearl of great price. With that kind of love expressed towards us, that's the kind of love he invites us to go after. So this kind of hearing God's wisdom, this kind of hearing his intimacy, this kind of discovering the knowledge of God isn't going to come just because we sit on the sofa all day and watch the telly and wait for it to happen out of his incredible mercy. It comes because we pursue like a lover pursues. I think it's sad when people want everything handed to them on a plate. That's what society's teaching people these days. Government will do it for you, or somebody else will do it for you. Bank of Mum and Dad will do it for you, or whatever it is. It's laughing. It's working hard. I appreciate you working hard, having good efforts. So that's good. But society as a whole is kind of leaning into that, isn't it? Let somebody else do it for me. I won't do it for myself. And God is inviting us to say there's a treasure, there's a prize here, which is worth pursuing. So what are the benefits of learning wisdom? I'm still in Proverbs 2 here. I'm going to pick up my Passion Translation and look at it because I just like the way it's read. And it's a bit small on screen. They're squinting at it, I can see, so you can't see it there. But I'm going to pick it up and say, what are some of the benefits? But I'm going to read from the Passion Translation. That's New American Standard on there. My child, will you treasure my wisdom? Then and only then, you will acquire it. So if you treasure it, you will acquire it. And only if you accept my advice and hide within it, will you succeed. So in verse 1, one of the benefits is we succeed. We succeed. So train your heart to listen when I speak and open your spirit wide to expand your discernment. then pass it on to your sons and daughters. Yay. Yes, cry for comprehension and intercede for insight. For if you keep seeking it like a man would seek for sterling silver, search in hidden places for cherished treasure, then you will discover the fear of the Lord and find the true knowledge of God. So verse 5, another benefit. We find knowledge of God. We get to know him. Wisdom is a gift from a generous God, and every word he speaks is full of revelation and becomes a fountain of understanding within you. Wow, how would you like that? That there's actually a fountain, I love that description, of understanding that's actually placed within you. So when you're going along and thinking, what on earth is going on here? Understanding is available to you. Doesn't mean we know everything. Be careful there. But we can have understanding. For the Lord has hidden a storehouse of wisdom made accessible to his godly lovers. He becomes your personal bodyguard as you follow his ways, protecting and guarding you as you choose what's right. That's verse 8. He becomes your shield, your bodyguard, your protector. Do you want God as your protector? Yeah, it would work for me. I'm going to choose somebody to protect me. It won't be Dwayne The Rock Johnson or Arnold Schwarzenegger for all their muscles and stuff like that. Then you will discover all that is just, proper and fair, and be empowered to make right decisions as you walk into your destiny. Wow, do you want to walk into your destiny? When wisdom wins your heart and revelation breaks in, true pleasure enters your soul. So verse 10. True pleasure enters your soul. It says wisdom in this version. Wisdom enters your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul, it says there. I don't want to put it there. If you choose to follow good counsel, divine design will watch over you, and understanding will protect you from making poor choices. So at the end of the one, discretion will guard your understanding will watch over you. Discretion will guard you, understanding will watch over you. But I love the way his Passion Translation, it will help to protect you from making poor choices. Anybody made a bad choice since breakfast? But when we embrace wisdom, it helps to protect us from making poor choices. It's there, it's available. This is only the first half of chapter 2 of Proverbs. The treasure that's being unlocked already. If we encounter this, if we move into this, if we'll embrace the wisdom of God, if we'll embrace what he wants us to do, if we'll stop being a casual inquirer and become a pursuer of who God is. So where does wisdom begin? Proverbs 9:10. There you go, a bit further on in Proverbs. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It's also quoted in Psalms. It's a very similar verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Now put another verse up there, just to kind of balance things a bit. New Testament verse from 1 John. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loves us. I think now, Ian, why have you put that up there? You've just told us that fear fear is how we find wisdom. Now you're saying if we're being loved, there is no fear. Isn't that fun? That's when you need wisdom. That's when you need understanding. When you read scriptures like that and you go, hang on a minute. In fact, you'll find down in Proverbs, I think it's somewhere Proverbs 23, I think. It says, don't answer a fool in his folly. Now read the next verse. Answer a fool in his folly. Now, if you don't ask God what that's all about, if you don't reach for understanding, you're going to be a bit perplexed. And part of it is our use of words and our understanding of words. We talk about fear now as something like going to a horror movie and being scared out of our wits. It's not kind of what it's talking about here. Although I think if you didn't know the mercy of God, you didn't know and had been introduced to the grace and the goodness of God, and then God appeared to you, I think you would be scared out of your wits because of his incredible majesty, his incredible power, but it's restrained in love. But fear is about awe and reverence. This is the kind of fear that is being talked of here. It's coming to God in awe. It's coming to him in reverence. Just when we were praying before the service this morning, we think, you know, here is the God that heaven exists in God. God is not in heaven. Heaven is in God, because before anything existed, there was I am God, and then he created, it says, the heavens and the earth. There you go. Stretch your mind for a bit. So the known universe and heaven exists in God. Billions of stars and universes that he calls by name. And they sing a song of praise to him constantly. And if you tune into the right people like Louis Giglio online, you'll hear the song of heaven and the song of whales and the song of the universe giving praise to God. This incredible God where in heaven angels and spiritual beings sing praise in awe of him because he's so incredible. And yet this God notices when a sparrow falls to the ground. And he says, you are more important than even a sparrow. And with all that sound going on of praise and worship to him, that the whole of the universe is sending up this song to him in love and adoration, he hears the cry of the one person in need that calls out to him and says, God, I need you. Does that not put you in awe and reverence of God? That he can hold all of that and still hear the cry or notice the sparrow that falls. So when it says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, it's about actually beginning to see him for who he is and coming in reverence before him. And of course, if we think we're coming and in our brokenness before God, then we would fear being punished, because we can't come close to such holiness, such goodness, and not fear punishment. But this verse in John says, but there's no fear in love. And we come not because we need to see something change within us, but because Jesus changed us. Because of the work Jesus did, we can have no fear. We can come. We can come, and all our guilt, all our shame, all our regret, all our past life falls away when we accept Jesus. And he makes it possible to come into the presence of the incredible, awesome God without fear. Not without respect, not without awe, without terror, fear of punishment. Why? Because he first loved us, it says. Because he first loved us. I changed my notes a bit this morning when I wrote it. So I was asking the Lord how we get to this place of falling deeply in love with him. Him who first loved us. Because we talk about relationships and people falling in love. The trouble is when people just fall in love, they can fall out as well. And the Lord says, because when you come to love me, it's because you make a choice. You make a choice to love me. And actually, steadfast love has a choice. Steadfast love begins with a choice. And his choice is, I commit to you. He makes a covenant, a promise to us. And his promises are yes and amen. They don't change. And so when we want to start to pursue God, then we need to make a promise to him. We need to come to him with a choice of saying, I choose you, God. I choose you. In lots of counselling situations where broken relationships happen, one of the key things to actually starting to repair a relationship is to get the people in the relationship to decide, they choose. I choose this person. I choose. That there is a point where we have to decide where we're going to be. And when we want to fall in love with God, there is a choice to make. It isn't just going to happen to us because we're overwhelmed with some gooey feeling of when we see something incredible, we just become overwhelmed with it, although that can happen. But if it's just that experience that takes us into that, we're going to struggle holding on. But if we make a choice and a promise that I'm going to stick with this, I'm going to choose what I do, then it's really important. Be in awe of his unending goodness and faithfulness, of his power and his majesty. And wisdom for us is knowing that we actually need to pursue the lover of our soul. That's a wise choice for us. And out of that wise choice comes more wisdom and understanding. Isn't that awesome? That he just gives back. You just step in. You just make the one step. You make the one movement, that one choice to step over the line to say, I choose you, God. I choose you, Jesus. I choose to accept what you're doing for me. And in that one step, he meets us with an overwhelming cascade of love and grace and forgiveness and cleansing and healing. He throws out his invitation again and again and again. Every morning, his invitation is new. Do you accept his invitation to come and plumb the hidden depths of his character, which we can only find when we engage with him who is the lover of our soul? Chapter 3 gives us some of the promise of wisdom. Trust in the Lord, starts verse 5, with all your heart. It's a big one, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In everything you do, acknowledge him. And he will make your path straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes. That's easy to do, isn't it? Oh, I think I know what I need to do. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil, and it will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. How about that? We want to start walking in divine health? I do. Here's an answer. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. What? Turning away from evil and just fearing God. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. That sounds like a version of 3 John 3, doesn't it? Beloved, I pray that you'll prosper and be in good health even as your soul prospers. Here it is, written in Proverbs, just different words saying the same thing. I'll read it from the Passion because it's kind of fun to do so anyway. Trust in the Lord completely and do not rely on your own opinions. With all your heart, rely on him to guide you, and he will lead you in every decision you make. Become intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Like that. Be intimate with him in whatever you do, and he will lead you wherever you go. Don't think for a moment that you know it all. For wisdom comes when you adore him with undivided devotion, to avoid everything that's wrong. Then you will find the healing refreshment your body and spirit long for. Ooh. Is there a yearning inside you that wants more? And there it is. Glorify God with all your wealth, honoring him with your very best, with every increase that comes to you. Then every dimension of your life will overflow with blessings from an uncontainable source of inner joy. Wow! That sounds like a kind of cool offer. The offer's on the table. Comes from heaven. Comes from a God of love. Comes from his son Jesus. Comes via the Holy Spirit, who promises to help us and teach us and lead us into all truth. But it's there for those who want to pursue. Do you want to wait and just see if it happens to float by you while you're watching some stuff on TV or listening to some stuff that's filling you with goodness knows what? Or do you want to make a choice to choose him instead? To choose what is good, what is wholesome, and is it in Philippians where it says, whatever is good, whatever is lovely, dwell on these things. And we find ourselves surrounded by so much noise from the world that isn't that. And yet we let it just keep battering us away, when actually if we just turn our heart and attention to Him, He will deal with all the stuff that holds us down. The world is shouting at you, you're rubbish, you can't achieve this, you can't do this. Everything's going to hell in a handbasket. That's what the world's shouting. We're doomed, we're doomed, we're doomed. So much plastic in the ocean, all the fish will die. So much this and that. It's just the end is nigh, brothers and sisters. The end is nigh. Or is the kingdom of God coming? Is the kingdom of God coming? The kingdom that binds up the brokenhearted, that sets captives free, declares liberty to those who are oppressed. It says health to your body, healing to your bones, goodness, joy and peace. A promise that says, I will be with you always, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Is that what's going on? One of our boys this week was a bit fed up with something going on, and Mum was trying to encourage that things could be better. Oh, Mum, you just sugarcoat everything. I want you to be miserable with me. Wallow in his misery. And she refused to do that. Amazingly, by the end of the day, all the things he feared would never happen and never come to pass actually came to pass. The things he thought never would happen happened by the end of the day. That was good sugarcoating from Mum, wasn't it? Positive stuff. What are you listening to? Are you letting the noise of the world determine how you feel, how you think, how you even set your destiny in front of you, how you are approaching other people in the world, how you're approaching yourself, how you're approaching your relationship with God the Father? What are you letting determine that? Are you letting the noise of the world shout you down and say, you're rubbish, you'll never make it, the world's going to hell? I'm telling you, we're going to heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is coming to earth. I'm going to be on that side. I'm going to be sugar-coated. I'm going to be on that side. If that's what it is, that's where I'm going to be. It's a choice. How you spend your time. What you watch, what you read, what you listen to. What words come out of your mouth. What you give agreement to. We all do it. We all crash, rubbish comes out of our mouth and we wish it hadn't. But there's a way to come back. There's forgiveness, there's repentance, there's a turn. And the best thing about what God has done, all our shame, all our regret, all of our past is gone. It's dealt with at the cross of Calvary. We shouldn't go digging it up. We do, but we shouldn't. But the more we fall in love with God, the more we make our choice to choose Him first, the more that drops away. Remember that bit in the prophet said, it gives you the power to make, to get past the poor choices. That's where wisdom comes in. This is where that stuff from God comes in. I'm going to end with a couple of Old Testament verses. I call heaven and earth, this is Deuteronomy 30, to witness against you today that I've set before you life and death. This is God speaking. The blessing and the curse. So choose life, in order that you may live, you and all your descendants. God says to you today, choose life. Deuteronomy 30 verse 19. Choose life. Everything you do, make a choice for life. And that can be as simple as looking at a NAF TV program and saying, I don't want to watch that, because it isn't life. I'm not saying all TV is death. Please don't think that. There's some good encouraging stuff as well. And if it encourages you, it's fine. But if it pulls your heart down, then don't watch it. Choose life. Choose life. Choose life. Choose to turn the news off if it depresses you. Choose life. Choose to walk away from a conversation if you feel it's pulling your heart down. Choose life. But don't just walk away from one, walk to the other. Walk to the goodness of God. Walk to a place where you praise, where you worship like David did. Joshua challenged the people, Joshua 24:15. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which were beyond the river, so it was when they were in Egypt, or the gods of the Amorites, which is in the land they were going to, in whose land you are living. We can choose to let the noise of the world, the stuff of the world, clamour over us, and we start to serve it. You say, oh, I don't think I'm serving. Well, you are. If you're not choosing God, you're choosing the world. That's what this verse implies. Joshua says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's where you set your heart today. It's here in the book. Shouting at us from Proverbs, week after week as we've been reading this, shouting at us, saying, this is the way to walk. This is the choice to make. This is what you should do. And look at the promises that it holds up. Look at the promises. Joy. Peace. Protection. Soul at peace. Our needs met. In love with one who loves us. Isn't that incredible? You just thought Proverbs was a bunch of, don't do this, do that, don't do this, do that. Yeah. This book, the whole book, is the key to knowing God. That's why we've got it. But if you're not interested in reading it, you've just missed a whole treasure trove of something to go in. But if you want to know God love and love Him more, well, Adam Hall used to be part of this fellowship years ago. He said, I don't read the Word of God. He said, I feed on it. Feed on it every day. I like that. Feed on the Word. I wouldn't let a day pass where I didn't feed on the Word of God. Because I need it. I need it for the wisdom of God, for the understanding to come to me. I would miss it like I'd miss my breakfast. It's just that real. In fact, this is better than breakfast. You go without that breakfast, you can have this. It's that good. Choose today whom you will serve. As for me, my house, we'll serve the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. There is an invitation out there for you to step into the more of God. There is an invitation out there to leave past behind. There's an invitation out there to be loved like you've never been loved before. And the invitation's name is Jesus. And He's saying, just choose me. Just choose me. So even in your heart right now, if you want to just make a fresh say, yes, Lord, I want to love you more. Or maybe it's the first time you want to say that. And today is a good day. God is in a good mood. Today is a good day to say yes to Him. You will not be disappointed if you give Him your whole heart, holding nothing back. So Holy Spirit, I say, come right now. Just Holy Spirit, come. Just fill the room. Just fill hearts with your presence. Just right now, Holy Spirit, touch lives. Let it just be a meeting with you right now. If you want to call out to Him in your heart, call out to Him. He's listening. You can ask Him, God, what do you have to say to me today? He'll answer you. He will answer you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your faithfulness, your unending love, your mercy that overflows. Thank you, you've left us not just with a book, but with a person. You give us your Holy Spirit, who fills us and leads us into the truth. Help us to pursue, help us to choose today to run after you with a heart that's single-minded and passionate for you. We love you more. Let it be today, Lord, that we start the rest of our life. Today is the first day of the rest of your life, and you can spend it all with Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, just release your blessing into people's hearts right now. Release your presence. Just cement the resolve of hearts even right now, Holy Spirit, to pursue you. We give you thanks for who you are. In the wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus. Amen.